This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Beautiful day here in Hawaii, and the weather's wonderful. It's a beautiful Memorial weekend, and want to wish everyone a happy and safe Memorial Day, and want to pay thanks and recognition to our men and women who have paid the ultimate price in protecting this country and protecting our rights and building a better, a stronger people and nation. Today, I'm going to have a good discussion here with Mr. Scott Belford. And Mr. Belford is a well-informed computer expert, has the Hawaii Open Source Education Foundation, and is the member of the Eva Beach Neighborhood Board. So what I'm going to do is, first of all, just touch on a few things that caught my attention and I guess leave us a little bit disturbed, especially on a day such as this. We have the Democratic Convention occurring here in town, selecting the delegates, and we are also looking at many other things. But there's an article. The real issue with Senator Ron Manor. Don't want to be political, but I think in a free nation, we are getting away from having statesmen represent us. We're no longer having accountability in our government. And on many occasions, as I experience daily in the work that I do, we have a government that is just run rampant and irresponsible, having no obligation, as it seems. And we have, for example, this particular case. This is a senator, a state senator now, who, first of all, is caught while drunk driving. He then denies it. He claims that it was a bad contact lens. It was a sore foot. And just on and on and on. But again, we think we have statesmen representing us, but apparently we've deviated from that. And basically what we have now representing us, a lot of the people, the media and the public, refer to the state capitol as the big square building. Well, I think that's cute, but I'm going to go further and say what we have now is technocrats. And I'll lay this out. First of all, he's driving drunk, Mr. Manor, and he figures if he told us it was his contact lens, that would get him off. If he told us if that didn't work, supported by the sore foot, if that didn't work, not acknowledging that he took a breathalyzer. But what gets really bad as we get more technical from the technocrats is the chief technocrat, Senator Colleen Hanabusa, who dared to come out and say that she believed that this is the election period coming so near, that she will not take any action because she will allow the people to take action and speak and his constituents. Well, I am one of those constituents, Mr. Manor. And I think that the appropriate thing to do would be to resign, because it takes statesmanship to represent the public, to build good legislation. And it also takes good statesmanship on the part of the senatorial chief or the president to demonstrate and to keep things going in a manner that we don't question or we don't waver when it comes to integrity or ethics or values or morals. But even a greater problem with this situation is that there are people that are abroad that have been incarcerated, families that could not afford to pay lawyers on charges of drunk driving or what have you, and they get charged for child endangerment. If I recall right, per Mr. Menor, he acknowledged that he had children in his car. Drunk driving, child endangerment. We hear absolutely no mention of that. But to go further, he now goes to jail and serve his time. But if you pay close attention to the manner in which he did this, it's on a holiday, no media, no one to catch him coming in or out, going in or coming out of the jail after being incarcerated for this heinous crime. And obviously, he's done it before. This is per his child, per reading the comments that his child or his children told the policeman at the time of the incident. So how dare the Senate President, Colleen Hanabusa, to say and dismiss, knowing that the people will not have time to actually get out and do anything or to really express their votes in a timely fashion, because I'm sure there will be a campaign on Mr. Menor's part and the senator's part and the Senate. But strangely enough now, for you out there listening, I am a registered Democrat, but that is not influencing my opinion in this situation. Right is right, wrong is wrong. This is about as un-American as you can get. When the Republicans have their experiences, we send out the dogs. We send out the big dogs. Galen Fox, for example. Harbin, can't think of her name now, but it grabs me and it shakes me and forces me or compels me to ask these questions. Are we, especially on a day like today and a holiday like today, the Memorial Day, where people have given so much, are we willing to tolerate the arrogance that we see being displayed by our Senate President, Colleen Hanabusa? Are we willing and able to tolerate and digest this practice where not only does he deny, Senator Menor deny that he was drunk, he even provided us false statements. Not only did he do that, he went to jail in a manner that he could go and sneak under the radar, so to speak. And then how did he get this judge, O'Toole, to come in so quickly? He pled no contest, which is fine, but that's inconsistent with what he told us originally. So I was really looking to see my senator, Ron Menor, stand up and fight this battle, this valiant battle that he proclaimed his innocence. And he slinked into the dark of the night and met with his friends and his lawyers. And then now will resurface in the form of a revived person coming to represent the Mililani district in those areas. Where is the integrity? Can he build legislation? Can he author legislation? Can he be viewed by his peers? And while speaking of peers, I believe that Senator Colleen Hanabusa is better suited to judge, because she knows better than the public what it takes, the integrity it takes, to build good legislation, to have integrity where you won't be influenced by politics or others. And one other point on this, and I'll close on this one, and that is, I'm concerned, having been in law enforcement, I'm hoping that the HPD give close attention to this officer who did his job in such a fine fashion, that we monitor his career and that he not be persecuted. It is possible, so let's keep aware and keep vigilant on this. And another thing is that we found, we're going to change subjects here, out in Waianae, we just found that under the Mayor Hanneman administration, you folks won't believe this, but there is a four-story building built out at the Waianae Medical Center, Comprehensive Medical Center. where there's no building permit, no environmental assessment, no zoning clearance, didn't go before the city council for approval. But what did happen in the Hanneman administration under Henry Ng, what did happen was that they gave them a building permit for a foundation, and they gave them a permit, a building permit for a superstructure, and then they walked away. No building plans were submitted. Now, folks, if you were to build a gazebo or put up a fence, you have to submit plans. But the documentation upon reviewing the city records found that none of that was submitted. How is that to happen? So we have some serious problems when we talk about the fabric of a democratic society. And on a day especially like today, we have people who have given their lives. Let's not squander that by having what we call politicians, what I've now described as technocrats. And let's hold their feet to the fire. Let's be honorable. Let's look at our women and men who have served this nation, who have died, who have struggled, who have sacrificed. And here the people behind the scenes are just corrupting and eroding the fine fabric of the American way. We must put a stop to that. So anyway, so much for that, and my axle on the wheel here is rubbing off now, just getting a little bit upsetting, but I won't project that on you. Well, Scott, good morning, and I'm going to gather some papers here, and I want to send out a little. Take about a 5 minute, a minute break, and we'll be back.
Okay. Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
And welcome back. Scott, good morning, and thank you for dropping in and sharing your time with me.
Well, good morning, Carol. It's great to be here with you.
Tell the listeners out there just a little bit about yourself. I got a list here that goes about 2 feet long, but I won't exhaust.
Thank you, Carol. So my name is Scott Belford, and I've been on this island for about 8 years, and run a charitable nonprofit called the Hawaii Open Source Education Foundation. And I guess I would consider myself a social and economic entrepreneur. My interest in talking to you today, in particular, Carol, is with respect to economic development, integrating technology into our schools, and throwing away hope, which is something that we're beginning to do with increased with an increased rate of tragedy. And when I say throw away hope, I'm talking about what happens when we mismanage our e-waste. Now, e-waste is one of those terms that can cover a lot of things in our household, from our cell phones to our television to our computers. So here is something that I've developed a rather sincere passion for, and I would say it began with a pile of discarded computers when I was pursuing an MBA at the University of Hawaii, where, let's see, I guess it was about 2001, I would notice in between classes a huge pile of discarded computers that were, over the course of 4 to 5 weeks, strategically cannibalized for valuable parts. Simultaneously, I would read the papers. At that time, I subscribed to both papers and read both diligently. And I would read, Carol, about the failure of our schools, not only to have adequate funding, but also to be able to effectively integrate technology. So, there are two kinds of people in this world, those who find problems and those who find solutions. I strive and thrive to be that person who finds solutions. So I did a little math. One, pile of computers. Some of the same computers that I was using when I was learning about Linux and free software and programming and hacking and networks back at the University of Georgia's physics labs in the early 90s. So we have one, an asset. We have another one, a need in our schools. And did a little math. One plus one equal two. So I started a charitable nonprofit, allowed different businesses and government entities and individuals to take a tax deduction and get a pat on the back for taking their discarded computers that were still usable and donate them to our charity. And around them, we built learning opportunities in public environments, places like the McKinley Adult School, Boys and Girls Clubs. And we would take these computers, Carol, and we would teach other people basics about computers in these open workshops. Something you can't do if it's a computer you had to pay for, because God knows I don't want some yahoo off the street touching it. So we'd have these open workshops with donated computers, and we would restore and refurbish them, and we'd donate computer labs. Five computer labs at Enchanted Lake Elementary. Four or five computer labs, Kaneohe Elementary. Computer labs, Kuhio Elementary. Computer labs all across the island. So, this is a great thing. So why should I be talking to you now? I mean, you know, so this is 2001, we did a nice thing, people have extra computers, and that should be the end of the story.
Right. Now, you and I spoke earlier in the week, and you shared with me something that had gotten onto my radar, Senate Bill number 2843, which stirs an old emotion in me in dealing with the solid waste management and the solid waste efforts that I put forward some 3 years ago with the Senate, and there were bills passed. What, first of all, it's dealing with recycling and handling of the e-waste. Why is it a concern?
Well, let's start with the most obvious piece of e-waste in our house, the television. Beginning next year, unless you get a converter, your large CRT television, you know, is not really going to give you the same resolution that your friends have. And so people are throwing away record tonnage of equipment, a lot of which is still usable. Here on this island, if you are a homeowner, you may put that equipment into your trash can. If you are a business, you may not. And it's a bit of an issue. I mean, I don't need to tell you, Carol, that we have this thing called the Waimanalo Gulch that we continue to cap off and extend and cap off and extend. And the idea that we would allow a single human being to put a single piece of functioning e-waste into this dump while children, while families, and while economies yearn for some of the same technology we throw away, it's an insult on several fronts, environmentally, economically, intellectually, culturally. So we had a chance here in Hawaii to really get this one right. My first visit to the Hawaii State Capitol was when I was asked by my senator to come in and testify for a CRT recycling bill. This was 2004. And it was a good introduction. I think that I captivated the senators and the committee about the real issue of recycling and, more importantly, the opportunity. And at that time, we could have modeled ourselves on a California model, not unlike what we're used to now in Hawaii with bottles and with tires. You're at the store, you've got some money, you're putting something on your credit card if you've got some credit left. And while you're doing it, while you're buying the tires, while you're buying the battery, you pay a little extra tipping fee. And that goes to someone who's certified to handle that battery or that tire. We're kind of used to that. It's innocuous enough. That's the California model for e-cycling. When you're at Best Buy or you're at your retailer and you're feeling rich buying a new piece of equipment, you pay a tipping fee. Mm-hmm. One good model. Another model, the Oregon model, is saying, hey, you know what? It's illegal to throw away e-waste. You can't put it in landfill. Private sector, innovate, deal with it. Mm-hmm. And a third model, which I worried we might consider, is a bit more heavy-handed, which is manufacturers, you made it, you deal with it. And that's what Senate Bill 2843 essentially does, is it's going to say to Hawaii and the consumer, and potentially a good way superficially, that the manufacturer will deal with taking care of your old e-waste, and you don't have to worry about it. You just take it to some place and drop it off.
Right. So my knowledge and experience in the state handling these issues, we take the bottle bill. Most people think it's a great success. The bottle bill is a complete failure and a flop if you really knew the details. There are people that have put in charges that can't account for what they charge and were compensated for in millions. If you drive up to Mililani, we have another part of the bottle bill where the wine bottles and what have you, and you can look out in the field. They're taxing the consumer, and in the form of a bill, a fee to recycle glass, and we are paying the recyclers. The end result is that this glass is crushed up and dumped in a field up in Mililani, in the Mililani Tech area, mm-hmm. by the tons, hundreds of tons. Mm-hmm. So, backing up a bit, if I, as a homeowner, have a computer, it can go into the landfill, you say?
You may walk out and put that in your can if you've got right. If you got pickup service, and it's gone.
But you, as a company, if you put it in same type of same models, everything, if you were to put that in a can and dump it in the landfill and it ended up in the landfill, you could be fined because it's a hazardous material.
Yeah, and to its credit, the Department of Health, who does its best to, you know, to regulate the landfill, though they don't manage it, made it illegal for businesses to throw away e-waste some time ago. So yeah, they'd be fined for hazardous waste.
So now, what is the price to be paid by the importer? There's a, you said there was a couple thousand dollars that they would have to buy. Can you explain that?
Sure. I mean, once upon a time, if you had a piece of equipment, you could, of course, throw it away, and that's not a good thing. But if you chose to do the right thing, you had a few options. You could actually reach out to your school and donate it through the Computers for Kids program. Although that's a story in itself, because the DOE, as badly as it needs money and resources, continues to raise the minimum requirements in complete technical defiance of web-based education. But another matter. You could, as a homeowner, pursue giving it to a school if they would take it, a local church, or you could give it to a charity like our own. And we would try to do something good with it. Maybe we would, as I mentioned earlier, build a learning opportunity around that computer and put it back in the community. Well, now, if the governor signs this piece of legislation, we as a charitable nonprofit will have to register with the Department of Health at the rate of $5,000 beginning this January and renew that annual fee every year. Furthermore, any computers that we quote-unquote sell on this island will have to be branded. Furthermore, we will then have to account for the gross tonnage of computers we sell and make sure that we take away an equal tonnage. This on the surface could be a good thing.
But it seems to cripple and undermine the quote recycling, because there's many aspects to recycling, right? Reusing it, right? Rebuilding computers and instead of dumping them into the landfill. But my biggest problem with this is that things can go in the landfill, and all it is, it comes from a private home.
Mm-hmm.
There's been fire issues, and very interesting, just yesterday I received a letter from the City and County of Honolulu Environmental Services Department, And I, in response to a letter that I had written in 2006, of December, 2006, they just got around to responding, and it was about the fire in the landfill, the violations in the landfill. So if we have all of these horrible constituents in computers and televisions and other electronic components, why wouldn't we wish to keep it all out? Because eventually this cocktail, so to speak, up there in the landfill leads only to what? Declaring that as a Superfund site?
Why? Because there's only one of you. Because there's not that many people who have the time to care anymore, and we count on our politicians, who should be statesmen, to manage and regulate those things more responsibly. And so why do we keep doing it, and why do we keep putting it there? Because it's a path of least resistance. You're talking to someone who just 2 years ago would sit there in the parking lot at CompUSA, where everyone brought their computers for a feel-good event, where the name of the game was bring in your computer for twice a year, and schools would get their computers. Well, let me tell you what this really was. It was a three-hour scavenger fest where people would drop off computers, pat themselves on the back. People would show up at CompUSA to buy something, say, gee whiz, I was going to go buy a keyboard, but there's one in the parking lot. Then at 12, the sponsors would pat themselves on the back and leave. And to his great defense, the store manager, John Bingaman, who had cost his store sales all morning for giving up his parking lot, he would beseech volunteers like me to fill the city and county trucks with the computers that people thought were being recycled or going to schools. Well, no. We loaded those in the back of those yellow garbage trucks and shipped them out to the Waimanalo Gulch. Now, I'm still trying to figure out who I'm supposed to sue, because if, in fact, this is hazardous waste, who's accountable for all the dust of the compacted, crushed monitors and other pieces of equipment that were in the back of these garbage trucks? I must have filled, I don't know, six, eight. How many tons of e-waste is this? So it's a dramatic problem. And to answer your question, why? Because we're on an island without the scrutiny that an adjacent state's media or activists might shine. And without that type of scrutiny, we have to wait for individuals to raise enough of a fuss that action is taken. So that's the loss opportunity. And there's a lot more to talk about.
Well, we're going to take a brief break here and gather our thoughts and come back to you shortly.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA's smart driving tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution. Like making sure your tires are properly inflated and replacing your air filter regularly. Oh, where possible, accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. And did you know that for every 5 miles you go over 65 miles per hour, you're spending about 20 cents more per gallon of gas? Also, if you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more tips and to compare cleaner, more efficient vehicles, visit www.epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is Scott Belford. And welcome back, Scott. Scott, for the listeners out there and who would be very interested in recycling, what's the benefit of this? You touched on some of them. These constituents that could be recycled, I understand gold is found in computers, for example. Tell us, what could really be found and why should we be encouraged? If we recycle this, we wouldn't have to go and bust up other virgin resources, right?
So recycling is a good thing, and there's the opportunity to recycle right now. I think that what I would say is we need to focus a little more on the precious resources that we are shipping off this island with the current recycling plan. Yes, there is gold in the circuit boards. The Environmental Protection Agency views the circuit boards and the metal as scrap metal. This is 60%, if not more, of the mass of a computer. So if this is a commodity, why on earth would we have thousands of homeless on this island looking for opportunity while simultaneously shipping off thousands of tons of opportunity? So from this material, it's as if we're shipping gold off the island, quite literally. What we should be doing is partnering with these transitional homeless shelters to take every single piece of e-waste and to properly separate it into its constituent parts and to sell those components to the markets where there is a market. And given the price of petroleum and the expanding markets in China and India, there's money in them their computers. Furthermore, if they're still usable, don't ship anything off this island until every child, every family has a computer or a monitor if they want it. Because no one else, Terry, is going to be able to go and take, no one else is going to go to Nanakuli Beach Park or up to Maile or up to Pililau Park or Eva Beach Park like we've been able to do through our charity and put in computers and free Wi-Fi, because the cost proposition and the fact that the city doesn't have resources to pay for it is an obstacle that can only be solved by extending the life of good computers and not recycling some and reusing others.
Right. Well, some of the things that the public can do when getting rid of computers or electronic is what?
You go to Apollo.org, you Google, you go to the university site, and you look to see who's out there. And you're going to find that our charity, the Hawaii Open Source Education Foundation, is there. You're going to find that Sean Barnes and the Aloha Computers for Education in Samoa is there. You're going to find that the Computer for Kids program is there. You're going to find that you could actually call a recycler directly. And these are all nice, incomplete solutions. And I am, of course, addressing only on Oahu. Were you to be on the island of Hawaii, you would find yourself 5 years in the future where you have a functional city government that understands e-cycling. Every resident of the county of Hawaii can throw away their computers for free because there is a certified recycler who receives 55 cents per pound from the county of Hawaii per resident. There's been no need for state legislation. There's been no need for anything other than forbidding the disposal of the computers and looking at the cost savings and not adding that equipment to the landfill on the county of Hawaii made it possible for the county to reimburse the homeowner, the resident of Hawaii. So here you have some more or less private sector options. But these options will change should the governor sign Senate Bill 2843 into law. So yeah, right now you can go to one of these websites and call me. But I got news for you. I got more calls, I keep saying Terry because I'm thinking of Terry Gross, Carol, than I can handle. I turn away in some weeks 20, 40, 50, 80 monitors, 30 or 40 computers. Last year alone, because the Department of Education has gotten so high in its standards and is so eager to spend our money, last year alone, I sent 600 to 800 computers to Cebu in the Philippines. I have a plaque from the mayor of Cebu where we sent computers to 6 different schools and a hospital. I get phone calls from Governor Padaca, the sister province to Hawaii, and is about in the Philippines. And Governor Padaca, Grace Padaca, received a 42-foot container of usable computers from us.
So you a nonprofit,
charitable 501c3,
and meaning you strapped for cash on most days. So this $5,000 would take your good deeds and basically destine them for the landfill. Is that saying too
much? I mean, it's $5,000. I don't want to have to pay every year to register with the Department of Health to do what I'm doing already. It's completely absurd. And early on in this legislation, the Department of Health didn't want the money. They didn't want to deal with the program.
Isn't that funny? When we got the legislation passed for the landfill, the solid waste management program, legislators allocated funding $1 million. Larry Lau showed up in testimony and said, "We won't accept that right now because the governor wishes us not to decline to accept that, because the mantra is we want to do more with less." But none of that have any effect on the final destination of electronic waste. I'm finding more computers and electronic components dumped in fields now than ever. So this serves only to discourage or prevent, because if there are going to be people out there that can do things and need to pay $5,000. I myself, we have recycled computers and donated them to needed individuals.
Yeah, if you conduct business, if you quote-unquote sell it, you have to brand it and you have to register. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, people are going to find loopholes. This is such poorly written legislation that either it needs to be contested in the courts, or the clause that says that the Environmental Protection Agency's regulations override any of the state's initiatives. And I think that's already, you know, there's already adequate EPA initiatives in place to handle recycling. And so here's a situation where we have opportunity, and we have, unfortunately, and I mean this in the greatest of respect, I don't like to be a political complainer. And it was just 2 years ago that I believed so much in the lost economic opportunity from not understanding the impending tourism crisis and the need to get our children more technically literate. I understood this so dearly 2 years ago that I ran for office. I spent $15,000 of my own money to try to make my way into the state legislature. So when I say that I find myself disgusted and disappointed in the Democratic leadership of the legislature, I, as a lifetime pit bull Georgia Democrat, find myself disgusted that not a single politician took the time to call some of the few people that they supposedly represent to say, "Hey, what are you doing with recycling? How can we, as your legislature, help to serve our citizens and our future by building on what you've learned? Because we represent you and we want to collaborate with you." And instead, testimony I submitted, attempts to have some impact, so far really didn't have the effect that I would have thought. I mean, just 4 years ago, my first trip to the legislature, when this wasn't even on anybody's radar, I seemed to have championed the vision when I testified on Senator Sparrow's computer monitor bill. So I, you know, Terry, Carol, you can hear, I hope, that this is something I care about. And maybe I shouldn't, you know. I didn't grow up here. I didn't go to high school with anybody. Maybe I should be like everybody else and just get mine and get on out of here. But I'm very concerned about lost opportunity. And until you spend an hour with me in a county park and have a child who after school was not interested in anything other than getting in trouble, until they see this dude coming in and out of the park with computers. And you know what? They always want to know, what's that? So until you watch me open up a computer in front of the children you think are the worst and say, this is your brain, this is your body, this is a system, this is RAM, this is a processor, children's eyes light up. You demystify the most intriguing thing in their world, a computer, and you begin to open their eyes to opportunity. Taking computers and recycling them or whatever you do gets you a pat on the back until you build life-sustaining, life-changing programs around them. We've generated programs like Computer Guts and our computer labs that I've mentioned, okay? You know, first, Carol, I went to the schools and I said, you know, I'm going to get computers into schools. Mm-hmm. Mission accomplished. We made our Hawaii's Department of Education the first Department of Education not only to use thin clients with Linux extensively, but also to partner with Novell to offer certification for the kids. Then I turned to the parks and said, when they're out of school, we got to get them using computers in the parks. And the city said, we don't have money, Scott, but hey, if you can find the ISP to pay for it, you can put the computers in, we'll let you. That's nice. The real rewarding program has been Computer Guts, and I look forward to telling you about that.
Okay. We're going to take a break, but what I want to do is, when we get back with Scott, you know, when people donate computers, there's sensitive information and privacy concerns. Maybe you can give a little insight as security concerns and what can people do and how do they pick a recycler and does a recycler need a permit, so forth and so on. So if you can share that with us, and then we'll join Scott here in a minute or so. And welcome again to the Carol Cox Show. Okay.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. This coming month, we're going to see some interesting stories in the Hawaii fishing news. I've been informed that many of the issues that are impacting the local fishermen, even the simple recreational fishermen, there is a great effort to curtail or impact them. So rush out there and get a copy of the Hawaii Fishing News. You can pick it up at many local stores, or better yet, you can subscribe to it and you can go to their website, fishnews.com, or email them and get more information at fishnews@hawaii.rr.com. Okay, Scott, as I said earlier, I'd like to ask you concerns about security. So when a person donates a computer, what do you have, what abilities do you have, and what do you suggest to them to do to protect their privacy and other sensitive information before giving it?
Well, DBAN, Dirk's Bootenook, D-B-A-N, go Google it, download a CD, burn the ISO image to a CD. Okay, this will do a DOD, that's Department of Defense, qualified wipe of your hard drive. Or if you want us to do it, we'll do it. But we're not going to do it for you for free. Okay, so you are free to do it, but you must know that when you give your computer to us, we're going to wipe the hard drive and we're going to reinstall free and open source software. We don't reuse a licensed version of anything. But if you are worried about your data, you may wipe it yourself, or you may make a donation of $15 to us, and we'll wipe it for you. We do that for some people.
Okay. Good. Give your information, your contact information again, because like many of people out there, I myself am pretty slow at getting. Give us a good, crisp contact info.
I would go to my web browser and type in www.hosef.org. Those letters, H as in Hawaii, O as in open, S as in source, E as in education, F as in foundation. You'll get general information there. If you like eye candy, you can click a thing that says gallery. That will take you to our photo gallery, and that will give you lots of pictures of the nice things we can do with computers. If you like words, you can click wiki, and you can read lots of words about what we do and how we do it. And you'll find quick and easy links should you choose to donate. But I want to really reemphasize, I am far less interested at this point than all of your computers. I cannot handle all of them. I don't want you recycling your computers. I want everybody out there, if you're listening, to tell the governor to veto this bill. I want you to learn words like reusing and repurposing and extending. And I want us to look at computers as a source of materials to mine. You got any idea why a CRT is so heavy? It's the copper yoke. We got people pulling copper out of our highways for money, and yet we're throwing away 5 or 6 pounds of copper per monitor. Okay? So you're telling me that I can't partner with Utu at the Next Step Shelter to work with some really good people to safely extract these precious materials? So in all due respect, I think the word recycling is completely inappropriate now when it comes to the majority of e-waste, especially given the economic conditions. This is a raw material that must be mined, and I would like for us to rethink that. But if this is too complicated for you, just go to one of these websites or email me, and I'll do my best to do the right thing with your computer. But the problem is a little bit bigger than the pats on the back we get from quote-unquote recycling it, okay?
So you really, your main thrust is to ask and have people to call the legislators and the governor primarily now, because it's been accepted and passed by the Senate, right, and the House. So it now rests with the governor.
Correct.
So you're asking the public to call the governor?
I want the public to be informed and do the right thing. I run a nonprofit. I'm not about to ask anybody to do anything. But if you understand what I'm saying, and you share my concern that you sure ought not be throwing stuff away, the only person at this point who may have an effect on this is the governor, and we would like to see her veto it. When serving on my neighborhood board, told the governor's rep last month I'd walk around this island if she vetoed this bill.
Well, I'm hoping many of the people out there hearing this do get involved and call and express to the governor at least some concern, and maybe hold off, look at it, because I too know the value of recycling. I too know the value and the importance. I'm meeting children daily and throughout the island here that don't know how to use an email, and yet we're throwing workable, usable computers in the trash. You know, so we ask our kids to keep a cool head, but they don't have air conditioners in their school classes, and they can't learn anything because we're throwing valuable instruments or tools that could be used, if nothing else, a keyboard, a monitor that has the basic word processing would be good. Yet they're destined for the landfill. And backing up, you talked about the recycling at the weekend recycling. Now, I have firsthand knowledge that a large percentage of that went to the landfill. They would scavenge, as you described.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Take them off and put them in the back of a city truck. And when the TVs and the cameras go away and they're touting what a great deal, they went to the landfill.
So I loaded the dump trucks. I breathed in all the dust of the compressed CRTs and the crushed CRTs. I'm keenly aware. I've loaded them. I squawked to the Department of Health about it.
And what did they say?
Well, it wasn't that long afterwards that they stopped doing that collection day, and businesses were told that computers were hazardous waste.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if they were, why was I allowed to breathe that dust? And if they weren't, then why aren't we doing more innovative things mm-hmm. to break them down?
And then you take, for example, TVs, and you got the compaction. How much glass is in a TV? How much lead is in the glass of a television? So just figure that. And then the monitors of the computers.
Uh-huh.
That end up in the landfill being compacted. What happens to the liner? Right? And what happens to the lead? It leaches out, right? So anyway, I appreciate you stopping in and talking with us. The coming show is going to be the Hawaii Bulletin Board, and I want to thank Poca Burgess for his good show in the morning times, preceding mine. Good information. There's many issues out there that are impacting us all. I really would like to see resolution brought to many of things, but again, as I have said to earlier on, backing up to our legislators, we must hold them accountable. You don't need active legislation. You don't need a new introduction of bills. All you need is to express, you as an individual, this is your opportunity to do what you think is right. Don't sit and complain when you have a chance to speak up. Our government has run amok locally. We hear about what George Bush is doing, but nobody ever give that fine-tooth comb to see what is happening here amongst ourselves within our party, within the Democratic Party. I'm just appalled at what goes on within our state government and our city government and the tolerating by each government. They hands off, laissez-faire, hands off the affair that is set with these agencies. And folks, we must do something. It's absolutely no room. We can't tolerate anything. Cost of fuel is going up. Cost of living is going up. Something is going to break. We'll see more homeless. We'll see many, many things. And yet, it's funny. Our legislators won't even design and adopt an ethics bill to hold themselves accountable. These are the fat cats, and they only serve whom they believe is going to benefit them. There's no way anybody can go out and get a law degree and a architectural degree or a master's or a doctorate and return back to the state capitol to work and do what's right in this economy. So something is giving here. There's something terribly wrong here in Hawaii. What I'm going to do is bring it to a close. And we have a program that we're starting, and many of you have heard us talk about the sick fish or the imported fish. We're starting a campaign to boycott the larger chains for selling fish treated with carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is a deadly gas. They're using a deadly gas to preserve the coloration and conceal the age of the fish. So wave to us, and if you'd like to join in, send us an email at carol@carolcox.com or go to our website at carolcox.com. You can go to the blog there and send us a message. Share us your thoughts, but it's up to you. You have the power. And both of these issues. Tell your legislators, tell Senator Hanabusa, it's up to her first, and ours is independent of her actions. She must do something. Write a letter of reprimand or something, but don't give us the old onesie-twosie. And that's it. Thank you for joining us, and see you next week.
1080 on the AM dial.